it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Well, it was back in July of 2010. That's the last time the Orioles went 1-9 on a 10-game road trip. So far in this one, they've gone 1-8, and today they're trying to salvage the finale against the Yankees in the finale of this four-game series. Now, the Yankees, at 18 games against the Orioles so far this season, have scored 150 runs. That's almost 8.5 runs per game in the season series. And today, Ubaldo Jimenez will try to improve on those numbers. We'll see what happens. Buck Showalter and the manager's report right after this. All right, back in Yankee Stadium, saw Adam Jones this morning, and he was having trouble walking. In fact, that's what he said. He said, man, I can't even walk this morning. So Adam Jones is not in the lineup here this afternoon, and Buck was asked about that.
Toronto really got him. Now, that turf's different than softer, and I know there's a lot of challenges going in there, but, Adam's one of we have three guys in the top 10 in at-bats in American League, one of which is Adam. And, he's placed through a lot of things over the course of the season, as do a lot of people for teams. So I just think he's scuffing a little bit. Hopefully physically he can get his legs back under him the next couple of days and get him back out there.
Buck, with Tanner Scott, would he not be available? I know he's on the roster today, but would you prefer to not give him a day, I guess, because he had that long work day yesterday?
I'd prefer. But I don't know if the Yankees will participate with that thought, or cooperate, I should say. So he is available. Now, he's had 7 days off, and he did have a pretty good work day yesterday, but with the idea that he didn't do too much where he wouldn't be available today. But I told Joe about it day before yesterday. He was on the taxi squad yesterday. You know, you're not allowed to have him in, because I would have loved to have him in the dugout or the bullpen. In fact, he found his way out of the bullpen yesterday. Start the game, we had to get him out of there. Do you know that you can get to the bullpen without going on the field? That's great design. If I was a bullpen guy, most of them are like that. Did anybody ever have any doubt that Rex Ryan was going to be on TV someday?
With Richard Rodriguez being DFA, just you need to create a spot. And
yeah. We'll find out if he clears today at 1 o'clock. So we're hoping another one of our guys clear and we're able to keep him. And or he'll have that option at the end of the year to stay with us. You know, if it was during the season, there was a minor league team playing, that he would have to go down there if he clears. But we'll see. He had a good year in AAA.
I think every season you go into, you know, with that mentality, saying, like, this is a year that I'm going to give these guys a little bit more of a
This is a year, but we'd like to do
the
more.
Of that. I mean, Is it made tough because, one, they want to be out on the field, but two, you know, because of just the script of the season, I guess?
There's a lot of reasons, some of which I wouldn't get into because they may not reflect well on somebody. Kind of if not them, then who? Sometimes, we've got some, sometimes you just, you've seen, we've just done it. And because we know that, but it's also a certain mentality they have, and a lot of it comes from Adam's example. And it's funny that we talk about that because it is unusual in today's game. It really is. So, we'll continue to look for people from within organization outside that allow us to give them a little more time here and there. One of the things about, not having JJ for so long this year and not having Flaherty, because we really didn't have anywhere to go. And because of pitching in today's game and with us, the ability to carry more than three guys on the bench, I've never seen so many 12-man and 13-man bullpens as I have this year, and I think it's only going to continue. And you're going to see more and more people trying to go with six starters and float them around because – you look at free agent lists every year. The free agent lists get worse every year, and there's a reason for that. That's a deep story for another day, but, the baseball landscape and the way things have to be done, you've got to understand where it's going, or you're going to have some challenges because the way the challenge of pitching. When you see September call-up baseball and people are still worrying about not having enough pitching, like, you know, we got some situations where, you know, potentially coming up that we may have to take somebody from Sarasota, you know, and we've got, what, 11 or 12 pitchers.
Jim Hunter and Dan Duquette, they got together before the game today, talk about the minor league system and the Orioles' woes. And you're going to hear that conversation when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Orioles close out the 10-game road trip today here at a muggy Yankee Stadium and visiting with the Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations, Dan Duquette. And Dan, the minor league seasons are complete, and I'm not sure how much you put into the rankings, but I did notice one thing. Bleacher Report, which is a major publication, they had you ranked 25th, your minor league system, when the season began, elevated you to 15th, a 10 plus in one season. It seems to me there's a lot of excitement going on in the minor leagues that maybe a lot of people out there aren't aware of.
Well, that's right, Jim, and the Bleacher Report is recognizing the good seasons that some of our players had in the minors, and we got a chance to see a couple of them here over the weekend get their first hits. Chance Cisco, who's always been highly ranked by the prospect publications, so now he's in the big leagues, and he looks like a veteran. He took a walk, he got a base hit, and then he ended up with a home run here at Yankee Stadium, and he looks like he's a much improved catcher the way he received the ball. And he did very well throughout 41% of the runners the second half of the season at Norfolk. So that's good. That's a good step forward for him. And the other kid, Austin Hayes, got his first hit yesterday as a big leaguer, and then he followed up with a home run to right center field. So he showed the opposite field power here in Yankee Stadium. Just his second game. He also showed that he could throw when he almost threw out the Yankee left fielder at home early in the series. But Austin Hayes is not highly ranked by these prospect publications, but he's had a meteoric rise through the minor leagues. And he's in the big leagues hitting home runs. He's the first player from the 2016 draft to be in the big leagues. And he's there ahead of a lot of higher-ranked players. Like Nick Senzel with the Cincinnati Reds was drafted. They're the same age, Hayes and Senzel. Senzel is like the 9th and 15th ranked prospect in the industry. And Austin Hayes, they have way down in the 90s. Now, Austin Hayes has come along really quickly, and he's really improved, and he looks like he's got all the tools to be a really good player long-term for the Orioles. But those aren't the only two guys in our farm system that are coming along. Ryan Mountcastle won the Carolina League batting title, and he's just 20 years old. He's improving at third base. He ranks up there with a lot of the other top prospects with a bat. Vladimir Guerrero, Eloy Jimenez, Kyle Tucker, Victor Robles. Robles just got called up by the Nats. But Mountcastle's bat is on par with them, and he's not highly ranked. They're concerned about his defense, but I think he's going to be an everyday major league ball player, not only because of his bat, but because he's a pretty good athlete and he's improving the things that he needs to improve, notably his defense and his throwing.
I think it's important to recognize that with a minor league system, you're developing players to play for the Orioles, but there is very little turnover from year to year on the major league roster. So as long as you have legitimate prospects splintered throughout the system, that's what you're really after, and that's when you're onto something.
Well, I think so. And you take a look at what Trey Mancini has done for the major league team this year. I saw a prospect ranking where they had ranked the 30 top rookies in the big leagues, and they left Trey Mancini off. It's absolutely ridiculous. He's one of the top three most productive rookies in the American League, along with Aaron Judge and Andrew Benintendi. And to leave him off is just ridiculous. It's a disservice. You may not have liked Trey Mancini when he got drafted in the eighth round out of Notre Dame, but when he won the batting title in the Eastern League a couple years ago, you should have taken notice. And if you haven't taken notice now, after what he's done in the big leagues, he's put up a really good year here, and he's developed into an everyday player. You know, you're not paying attention. Unfortunately, there's people out there still trumpeting that he's not a good big league ball player, and we know that to be contrary. Now, Tanner Scott, who we're going to add to our roster today, he led the Eastern League in highest strikeout percentage. He's a strikeout pitcher, and he's coming along, and he's one of several left-handers that we hope have a good future. Alex Wells, who we named as our pitcher of the year from our farm system. Got terrific control, a great curve. He's just 20 years old, had a great year in the South Atlantic League. Keegan Aiken, another left-hander we took last year, had an excellent year in the Carolina League. He's one of the top 10 pitchers there. And he deserves recognition with these other highly ranked prospects like Tukey Toussaint and Tristan McKenzie with Cleveland, although those guys are certainly ahead of him at this stage of his career. Then we got a couple other left-handers that had really good seasons in the New York Penn League. Zach Lowther, a lefty we took, had an excellent year. Burke, a right-hander we took from UCL, had an excellent year. Cameron Bishop, lefty we signed, did very well. And a kid named Michael Bowman, another kid from Jacksonville who followed Hayes into the minors. That's where Hayes is from. They all had good years in the Penn League. So we're looking forward to some of these pitchers coming along, and hopefully they'll give us the depth and the help that we need in the future. And I don't want to forget two guys, former number one picks, that are back after having good years. Hunter Harvey, he's probably going to have to go on our major league roster. He's done the rehab. Well, I see his career path similar to Dylan Bundy now that he's back in rehab. So the other prospect publications have liked Hunter Harvey in the past. They should like him now because he's shown that he's healthy and he's coming back. And then DJ Stewart, left-handed hitting outfielder, had a really good year at Double-A. He had 278, he had 378 on base, 481 slugging, and he had over 20 homers and 20 stolen bases. So there's only a handful of players like that in the big leagues. And DJ Stewart, former number one pick from Florida State, is back on people's radar as a prospect. But he certainly got our attention because he's got the opposite field power to hit the ball out to left center field at Camden. He's a good base runner. He also has a good arm. So he could come up and help us next year. And then let's not forget about Cedric Mullins, another good-looking outfielder. We had a Double-A switch hitter, got power, excellent speed, and should provide us some good depth in the future. So there's some players to look forward to coming up through the farm system that should help this Oriole ball club in next season.
Hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel with Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium. Well, going into the finale of this four-game series this afternoon, the Orioles had lost three straight. They had lost 9 out of 10. They had gone 4-12 since that seven-game win streak, and they were slowly sinking in the East in that wild card race. Hey, but today they won a ball game, so they end that three-game losing streak, and they win it by a score of 6-4. And so on the road trip, they wind up 2-8. Still a very disappointing road trip, but hey, they won today, and so the train ride back to Baltimore is going to be a little more pleasant. Today's Zach Britton comes down, he picks up a save. Tim Beckham, it's a big home run. That was the difference in the game as they beat the Yankees by a couple of runs. They win this one 6-4. The Orioles had the lead in this game against Sonny Gray in the top of the second inning. One out, bases empty. Chris Davis, he doubled. And then with two outs, Mark Trumbo got a base on balls. Austin Hayes, the rookie, came up and he cashed in. Here comes the 1-0 delivery. There's a shot up the middle and a diving attempt by Gregorius. He cannot make the play. That's a base hit. That'll drive in a run. So Davis comes in from third, and there goes Trumbo. He goes first to third, the ball back into second base. Austin Hayes with the RBI single, and he has given his team a lead at Yankee Stadium in the second inning.
Yep.
How about that? 1-0, but it was short-lived because Ubaldo, after a 1-2-3 first on just 14 pitches, he went to work with a 1-0 lead second inning, and D.D. Gregorius was the Yankee leadoff hitter. Fly ball right center. Smith is backing up at the scoreboard. He's going to jump and cannot get to it. It lands in the first row. So Gregorius hits one out and a ball that barely got out, but it did. His 24th home run, and it's a 1-1 game. There you go, D.D., by the way, with his fifth home run against Oriole pitching so far this season. So 1-1 going into the third. One out, bases empty against Sonny Gray. Machado got a base hit. So Manny was on base with two outs. Trey Mancini came up to hit, and he cashed in.
There goes Manny in the 3-2, a swung on, and a ground ball base hit down the left field line. That heads towards the corner. Machado is heading to third. He'll be sent by Bobby Dickerson. He comes around to score, and pulling it at second base with an RBI double is Trey Mancini. Tremendous at-bat for Mancini, and he gives the Orioles a 2-1 lead.
There you go, 2-1 at that point. Then came the fourth inning against Sonny Gray when Seth Smith began the inning with a base on balls. And then with two outs, Caleb Joseph got a base hit to extend the inning and get it to Tim Beckham.
And the 2-1 breaking ball swung on and drilled. Deep left field. Way back it goes, and that ball is gone. It's into the bleachers over the Oriole bullpen. And Tim Beckham with a big blow, a three-run shot. And the Orioles now lead it 5-1. And how about the Orioles in this game? All five runs have been driven in with two men down.
And Tim Beckham has been really scuffling. That's a big hit for him. And the Orioles, well, they had gone ahead to stay, as it turned out. Meanwhile, Obaldo Jimenez, after giving up the home run to Gregorius in the second inning, all of a sudden he found the strikeout pitch. He had two strikeouts in that second inning. He had another one in the third. He would strike out the side in the fourth inning, and then he came out eventually for the fifth. And for Jimenez, this will be his 100th pitch. Gardner waits, the count 3-2. Jimenez at the belt. He delivers. Hang, and a foul tip, strike three again. He got him. Another swinging strike three. But Ubaldo, he strikes out the side in the fourth inning, and then he strikes out the side in the fifth inning, and Ubaldo, 10 strikeouts in five innings. And that was it for him. Ubaldo, five innings. He would eventually get the victory in a very dominant performance. Now, the Oriole bullpen, Michael Givens, came out of the pen in the bottom of the sixth inning. Gave a walk to Sanchez, and then Castro, an infield single. So the Yankees had two on base with two outs for Matt Holliday.
Sanchez from second, Castro from first. Here's the pitch, swinging a line drive, base hit up the middle. Mancini over to try to cut it off, and he cannot. Scoring from second is Sanchez. Castro's being set, and no throw to the plate. It'll be a two-run double for Holliday, and the Yankees are back in it. It's now 6-3 Orioles in the sixth inning as Givens comes on and allows a couple of runs.
Well, that's when Givens would make his exit. Richard Blyer came in, got one big out in that sixth inning, kept the Yankees at bay. Well, the Yankees, after Darren O'Day got him 1-2-3 in the bottom of the seventh inning, that's when Brad Brock came out to pitch in the eighth, and that's when the Yankees got a little bit closer. Aaron Judge, a leadoff double. With one out, Gregorius hit a ground ball that Beckham fielded, but then made a bad throw. Yankees had two base runners out there, and that's when, after Gregorius got on base on the Beckham error, that's when Castro came up to hit. Castro digs in, 1-2, and Brock, he delivers. There's a fly ball out toward right center, can drive in a run. To his right is Austin Hayes. He's going to catch it. Judge is going to score, and the ball back into second base. It is now 6-4, and now there are two outs. Yep, 6-4. Yankees now within two. After that, Holliday got a base on balls. Exit Brad Brock. Enter Zach Britton to try and pick up a four-out save. Well, in that eighth inning, he got Headley, a pinch hitter, to ground out number three. So eventually, it went to the bottom of the ninth inning. The Orioles, offensively today, with the lead, they ended the game with 11 consecutive outs. The Orioles' offense, so not a whole lot there. Then Britton came out for the ninth inning. He struck out Todd Frazier. But then Ellsbury doubled into the left field corner. And with one away, Gardner a ground out. That's out number two. Aaron Judge came up to hit, or so we thought, as the would-be tying run, with the runner at third base in a two-run game. However, Buck Showalter made a decision. He walked Aaron Judge intentionally to put the tying run on base with two outs and give Gary Sanchez a chance to maybe win the game. Now, Gary Sanchez, a guy sitting on 31 home runs and a dangerous and a powerful right-hand batter. So Buck made that decision, and guess what? Britton made that decision pay off. Sanchez cocks the bat, and Britton with a 2-2 pitch. Sanchez swings and misses. It's over. The road trip is over. And for the Orioles, the trip ends in the win column. And they avoid the four-game sweep at Yankee Stadium. They win the finale. Wasn't easy. These days, nothing is for the Orioles. But they win it by a score of 6-4. As Britton comes in and picks up a four-out save, Tim Beckham with what turned out to be the game-winning three-run home run. And now we come home, take on the Red Sox tomorrow night at Camden Yards. And Jim Hunter, in a moment, got Buck Showalter, and who knows what else he might have as we continue with our Browns Hunter City postgame show right after this.
Jim Hunter back at Yankee Stadium in New York, where the Orioles salvage the finale of this series and this road trip as they build up a 6-1 lead by the fifth. and then hang on and win it by the final of 6-4. The Yankee bullpen, beginning in the sixth inning, retired the final 11 Orioles to come to the plate. But the Orioles pitchers kept getting big outs via the strikeout. Combined, the Orioles pitching in this game struck out 13 New York Yankees. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs. Post-game comments. Buck Showalter is with Gary Thorne.
Buck, you got some offense today. The bats came around for you in a nice win.
Yeah, against a really good pitcher that is a challenge. So proud of the guys not giving in. Beck had a big blow for us, and I think Ubaldo was really good. That's a tough lineup. A lot of things falling their way. Everything's falling in place, and good pitching. He struck out, 10 or 11 guys?
10, yeah.
And then Zach got some big outs. Darren had a good inning, and it's good to see.
I thought Ubaldo kept the ball down today about as well as we've seen him all year.
Yeah. He had two or three pitches working for him, and two of them were command of the fastball, which means, you know, in and out and some quadrants, and working with some challenges with borderline pitches like you normally do at this ballpark. But Quinn did a good job back there. A lot of times you come in here and you wonder if they're going to forget about the fact that we have bubblegum cards too.
All right, it's a win. You get to take back home. I mean, that's nice. You got a final homestand.
Yeah, we got a streak going. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have to put it together, and we'll obviously run off some games, and it's only going to happen if we get starts like Ubaldo gave us today.
Okay. All right, Skip. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win it by the final of 6-4.